Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we're starting a sermon series based on the book of Jeremiah, who was not a bullfrog, but a prophet. And he had a pretty rough go as a prophet. And he was prophesying and preaching in a time when Israel and Judah were separate. The people of the Jews were living in two separate countries, that of Israel and that of Judah. And Judah is an interesting place because everybody wanted to control Judah. It laid at the confluence of three trade routes from Asia, Africa, and Europe. And they had fallen on some hard times. During the life of Jeremiah, the Assyrians would control Judah for a while. There was a short time where they were independent, and then Egypt would later control it, and then followed by the Babylonians. Everybody wanted to have control of this little country, this little piece. And it was during the time that the Assyrians were in control of Judah that the Jewish people began to worship the Assyrian gods. It was so bad that they actually were worshiping in the temple of Yahweh, the temple that they had made, and actually taken the altar and pushed it aside as they were worshiping these Assyrian gods. Time went by, and you read in the Old Testament that they lost the book of Moses. It was gone. That they had lost a Mosaic book. It was during a time when they were somewhat independent that King Josiah came along. King Josiah began sort of a religious resurgence. He began calling the people back to God, calling them to repent, to stop worshiping these Assyrian gods and worship the one true God. It was during this time that the prophet Jeremiah shows up on the scene. He shows up and he came along Josiah and he began to preach and prophesy to the people, encouraging them to return to their God, the God of their ancestors, the one true God. He started prophesying in the 13th year of King Josiah, about 627. His basic message was that the Assyrian gods are not even gods. There is only one God, and that's your God, and you need to return to worshiping him. He went on to add to his message that there is a beast in the north, and if you fail to repent, if you fail to return to your God, this beast from the north will come and devour you, and your God will not save you. They didn't like that very much. They didn't like hearing those words from Jeremiah. We're going to take a look at two different passages in the book of Jeremiah. The first one is where he is called. It's Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 9. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth, And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Here we see the calling of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young man. He was 16 to 20 years old. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and spoke to him and told him that I am sending you off to do this task. The Hebrew word that talks about know, where God says, I have known you since before you were in the womb, it really indicates a really intimate knowledge. Not just like I knew who you were, but like the love between a husband and a wife, that sort of a knowledge, a deep knowledge of who he was. God is telling him, I have known you all my life. Jeremiah is told by God what his purpose in life is. And like so many prophets, he doesn't feel adequate. He doesn't feel up for the job. God responds to that by just saying, don't worry about it. I'll give you the words. You will go to whom I send you, and I will say the words, give you the words to say. He essentially said, don't worry about it. I've got your back. One of the lessons I draw from this is that I have found that God often uses the younger people to try to change the world. And I've kind of wondered why that is. And I think it's because they don't know that they can't. The world has not beat them up. They have not run into brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. The world has not sort of beaten that thought out of them, that they could change the world. I think this text is telling us that we need to support the young ones who want to change the world. It is not our place to say, oh, it can't be done. We can't have peace in our lifetime. We can't. It is to support them and help them. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon Jeremiah, and he was reluctant. I understand that reluctance. I certainly experienced it when I began to understand that God was calling me to the professional ministry. I expressed to my wife that I was thinking about this, and she was not at all excited about the concept. I finally realized that God was calling me to the professional ministry. I thought, oh, yeah, I'll go run the Red Cross. I'll go run a nonprofit. I'm a banker. That makes some sense. But no, once it became clear to me that God was calling me to the professional ministry, after I was done laughing at him about how horrible things must be that he has to call me to the ministry, I got serious. And I heard from God, don't worry. I've got your back. I've got you on this. There are still people all over Houston, Texas, exclaiming, Mike Tyson did what? But God has a call for each one of us. And the idea of changing the world is not something that is just limited to the young. If God is with us, who can be against us? So God may be calling you to do something in your life. God may be calling you to do something that is uncomfortable. I mean, Jeremiah had it rough. Jeremiah was preaching God's word, and you know what they did? They ran him out of towns. He became a laughing stock. They actually put him in stocks. He'd come along and people would go, ah, there's that Jeremiah again, preaching destruction, preaching death, preaching repentance. And finally, they told him just to shut up. We don't want to hear you anymore. Jeremiah tried. He tried to shut up. And he went to God, and he talked to God about it. Our second text is Jeremiah 20, verses 7 through 9. And Jeremiah has come to the Lord. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughing stock. All day long, everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. And if I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. Jeremiah has come to God and had a little pity party. Things are really rough for me, God, but God has been with him all the time through this. Jeremiah is demonstrating a level of commitment and faithfulness that is outstanding. Is there anything in your life that you are that committed to? So committed that you would endure the taunting of others, maybe even the possibility of prison or being put in stocks? Is there anything in your life that you are that committed to? That nothing will stop you from doing it? I understand this part about the fire in the bones. Once I understood my calling to the ministry, I had within me this burning desire to preach. I couldn't wait to be let loose to preach God's word. Felt like it was pent up inside me and I needed to let it loose. I understand what Jeremiah is talking about here. He can't help but sing the praises of his God. He can't help but do the mission that God has sent him on. What level of commitment do you bring to the task that God has called you to do? Are you willing to endure the disapproval of your family or your friends or your neighbors in order to do what God is asking you to do? God has told Jeremiah from the beginning that I am with you. Don't worry about this. I've got your back. There's a song by a woman named Jenny Owens. She's blind. It's a contemporary Christian song. It's probably not so contemporary because it came out in like 2000. But it's called I Am. And in it, she talks about David being asked to fight Goliath, Moses being sent to free God's people, and Mary being chosen to bear the Christ child. And there's a refrain in it that I love. It's one that I actually mutter to myself quite frequently. And it's God talking to the three of those people, each individually saying, it's not your problem. I've got this. Your job is to tell them, I am. And that's true of us. We have to trust that God has our back. You look back at your life, and you will see all the places that God has touched your life. These little fingerprints of God in your life, where God has had your back, where God has taken that terrible thing and maybe made something good come from it. The lesson for us in Jeremiah is trust in God. He might ask you to do some crazy things, but he's got your back. And there's a lesson for us as well. Things sometimes get rough in our life. Sometimes things are hard. Certainly that's what was happening to Jeremiah, where in that 20th chapter where he goes to God and says, oh Lord, my life is a mess, but I'm doing what you asked me to do. Jeremiah's having a little pity party. I mean, you read the Psalms and people go to God and are lamenting, where are you? The lesson for us is that it's okay to have a little pity party when things are rough. But the lesson is never take your eye off of God. That's the lesson from Jeremiah, is to keep the mission, the goal, the thing that God has called you to do forever in front of you. With that sort of focus and commitment that Jeremiah shows to us. It's okay to have a little pity party, but don't get stuck there, brothers and sisters. That is no place to be, and that is no way for you to accomplish what it is God is calling you to do. Keep God in the center of the frame of your life. God will allow you to do amazing things. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to be upon us. Let us speak with you as Jeremiah spoke with you, as a friend. We ask, Father, that you would make clear your calling in our lives. We ask that you would give us the focus to accomplish the task of sharing the love of Christ in this community and the world. Father, we are called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Put us to work, Father. Help us to stay focused on you and on your word, that we may accomplish that you have laid before us. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. And all God's children said, amen.